A conference looking at the theme of religious freedom took place on Friday at the Pontifical Irish College here in Rome. The conference, entitled Religious Freedom, East and West, was organised to mark the fourth anniversary of the death of Father Rachid Ghani. The Iraqi priest was murdered together with three subdeacons as he emerged from celebrating Mass in Mosul on June 3, 2007. One of the speakers at the conference was professor at the Gregorian University, Rabbi David Meyer. He spoke to us about the challenge of striving for religious freedom. Your closing statement, you talked about striving for religious freedom. In this day and age, it seems like when you see what's going on in the world, how do you even begin how do you strive? What is the best way, do you think, to strive to make a way forward?
I think the way to strive for religious freedom, in the sense of finding a way forward, is to realize that and to accept that the complexity of the world in which we live sometimes implies that there is a certain lack of religious freedom within the context of our own religion, whether in the purely religious world or even sometime in the political world when religion might have an influence. The striving comes in when we do not accept that situation, when we start to feel uncomfortable about it. So in other words, it's not because there are lacks of religious freedom that we should simply give up on the concept. That's where the striving comes, is to keep in mind that there is an ideal of respect for the others, for the religion of the other, that this ideal doesn't always translate into reality in our own political existence as a people, as nation, as religion. But from there, I can still keep the vision in mind. There's a really interesting Hasidic saying that says, even the biggest mountain can disappear if I keep my thumb in front of my eyes. And I think that is sometimes the problem. We are so much confronted with problems and difficulty that breach the basic right of religious freedom in all sorts of situations, that those reality become like the thumb that we have in front of our eyes. And sometimes we have to move it away to see that there's still a big mountain behind. That big mountain is made of ideals, ideals of justice, ideals of respect for the other, ideals of religious freedom. And as long as we can see the mountain, whatever the difficulty of today, we can overcome it. And I think that's where the striving comes in.
We're gathered here for this conference in memory of Rachid Ghani, someone who gave his life for his faith. It always seems to be in situations like these, unfortunate tragedies, that the issue is brought to the fore again and again.
Yes, it is, because somehow the reality of history catches up with us. If we are not confronted to so practical and tragic situation, we tend to think that religious freedom is just purely a concept, in particularly in the West, where we feel that we live a fairly enjoyable life, where we can practice whatever religious beliefs we have. And when we are not confronted to that reality, we sort of leave it at that level without asking really the questions which can be disturbing from within our own religious tradition. And so it's true that it is because there is a particular link here in the Irish College with Rachid Ghani that somehow that question comes back to the front of our preoccupation. In a way, of course, we should admit that it is sad, terribly sad, that it takes extreme of people being murdered for their religious belief, so that we ourselves take time to think about those issues, and not only to think about them, but eventually to try to do something about them. However, that's the reality of human existence. We move from one problem to the other, and from time to time we're drawn back to the issue because something happened that brings us back to it. I think we have to look at it in as a positive way as possible, and saying, whatever the failure of human capacity that event highlights, we still have the ability to use it to strive for something a little bit better and to bring back critical thinking into our own religious tradition. Because the lack of religious freedom, everybody's guilty. It's not just in one corner of the world. Whatever time in history, whatever part in the world, we've all suffered from it, and we've all made it against others as well. And that is a sad reality which needs a lot of courage to confront. And personally, I took great comfort somehow when I look at the life of someone like Rachid Ghani, to say he is someone who had the courage of his own religious belief and tradition to go back to Mosul and to do whatever he wanted to do there, whatever the danger. I hope only we can have the same courage to look into our own religious tradition and to see sometime why are we not as good as we should be on those ethical values.
You, of course, were coming at this issue from the Jewish perspective. Religions in general, whether it be Christianity, Islam, Judaism, how good are they at addressing the issue? And until they address the issue, really focus on the issue, how does dialogue work or not work into religious dialogue?
I think religions are not particularly good at addressing those issues. What they're good at is to point the finger at the other religions, to say that, look, the others are preventing religious freedom to my own people. And there is some truth, clearly, in that. What religions are not good at is to look critically at themselves and to see and to ask the question, is there something deep in my own religious tradition that plays a part in the lack of religious freedom somehow, somewhere, or in the lack of freedom in a wider context, or in the even wider context of tolerance and relation to others? That is something that needs a lot of work. But that, at the same time, that critical look, at the same time, is the key for real religious dialogue. Because real religious dialogue can only work if you're not too full of yourself. If you're too full of yourself because the only thing you do is criticize the other, where's the dialogue? Where is the room for dialogue? It's like a bottle, the bottle of water. If the bottle is full, totally full to the top, how can you add something to it? If you want to add something to it and to shake it and to rethink, which is what dialogue is supposed to be, you need to empty a little bit of the bottle. And that's why you need critical thinking within religion and see what is it that is a little bit destructive sometimes in our own religious tradition. That's what I try to do within Judaism. And I'm trying to do that also in interfaith dialogue with people from Islam, from Christianity, who are ready to do the same sort of exercise. But it's difficult. It's painful. It hurts.
Is, at the end of the day, when you get to that point where you can have a dialogue, is that the way forward?
Well, I think the lack of dialogue is certainly a way backwards. That is for sure. Dialogue is not necessarily in itself a way forward, because dialogue can be totally sterile. It can be something that doesn't move anywhere, that is just a dialogue in a vacuum and that doesn't have any impact on reality. So the question is then how to use dialogue to transfer it into reality. And that is the difficult part, because the people who dialogue, they're usually sort of expert in their field, but they don't necessarily have the communication tools to bring the people with them. And that's where a lot of effort, I think, has to be done. There's a lot of goodwill on dialogue, but there's very little work that is done to translate that dialogue into reality. And I've seen that in the synagogue context, where you go and you dialogue, for example, with Islam or with churches and so on and so forth. You do that as the rabbi, as the head of the community, and then you realize that 99% of your community doesn't necessarily follow you. They don't even know the basic about the others. They don't have an idea. They just don't know. They don't have the curiosity. So how do I use my experience in dialogue and the curiosity I have to engage in that dialogue to infuse the rest of the community with the same curiosity, the same need to themselves start to learn something about someone else? And that's where the link between dialogue and real life comes in. And it's a very difficult one to put in. So I would say dialogue in itself is not sufficient. But without it, you can't move any further in any case.